Tonight we're going to start a new six-part series, which I've entitled Rebuilding Our Body's Temple. That's the overall title for our new series, Rebuilding Our Body's Temple. Now, the material that I'm going to present is based on three things: the Word of God, the special writings that have been given to us as a people through Ellen White, and my own personal experience, as well as my own study and reading. And because the material that I'll be sharing involves nutrition, diet, lifestyle, and health information, I need to go on record by saying that neither this speaker, in other words, neither myself nor ACM, is seeking to offer medical advice for the treatment of sickness. So a little disclaimer here. And if you choose to change your diet or lifestyle based on what you hear in these six presentations, then again, please understand that you are responsible for any adverse effects or consequences that may result to you personally. In other words, what I'm saying is that there's always a risk when we change a lifestyle or habits in our life. There's always a risk. And I'm simply saying that you, by choosing to change diet, lifestyle, whatever, after listening to these tapes, I'm asking and saying that you are simply responsible for the consequences that may come. Now, having said that, let me also say, if some of you do not choose to change your diets and lifestyle, you will also be personally responsible for any adverse effects or consequences that may result. Is that fair enough? So you need to be making some decisions, is what I'm saying out there. Just don't blame me if something happens one way or the other. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, by listening to these messages, it is my hope that you will be challenged to think through your choices and your options as you prayerfully seek to find the balance that Paul spoke of there in 1 Corinthians 9:25, where every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And I pray that as we go through these series, this series, these six tapes together, these six studies together, I pray that we'll be able to find a balance in dealing with the message of health and health reform. So oftentimes we end up in extreme right positions and radical positions that sort of turn people off to the health message that God has given to us as a people. And I don't want us to swing that pendulum to the far left or the right. I don't want us to ignore it on one hand, and I don't want us to become so radical on the other hand that it leaves a bad taste in anyone's mouth. So again, I'm trying to use as our fundamental balance here that statement by Paul that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I think even though water is important, as a case in point, you can drown yourself and destroy your electrolytes by drinking too much water. Do you understand what I'm saying? So too much of even good things can be destructive to us. So we need to be very careful in keeping the balance. Now let me take just a minute and give you the titles of our series for this particular subject we've chosen to talk about. Tonight is called Laying the Foundation. Laying the Foundation. And I think you'll see what we're talking about as we get into it tonight. I found it to be rather important, very important, as a matter of fact, to kind of launch us into our study. Next week, we'll be talking about meats and meat substitutes. You won't want to miss that. Health in a can. Now, you will enjoy that. I think we'll have some fun with it. But let's come and we'll talk about meats and meat substitutes. Our third presentation is on alcohol and tobacco. Now, as Adventists, of course, that is something we don't usually get involved in. But I would like to just say this, that there are Adventists today that probably are nipping at the bottle a little more than they should. A little wine for the stomach's sake is the philosophy that some have chosen in the 1990s. We'll talk about alcohol and its effect upon the mind, upon the body, upon the conscience, and upon the willpower, and so on, and our relationship with God. We'll talk about tobacco as well. Tobacco is an insidious poison, and there are many Seventh-day Adventists that are involved in this. We have a lot of young people involved in tobacco today, and a lot of Seventh-day Adventist youth that are caught in this vicious habit of tobacco. So Please come. We'll share some very important material, and I think you'll appreciate that as well. Come right on up and sit up front if you don't mind. That's fine. Always happy to have another one here. Then we'll deal with the delicate subject. Next, with coffee, tea, and condiments. Oh, you're going to love that one. Don't miss that one. Might even talk about salt and pepper. And for Adventists, it's a terrible thing to have two shakers. One salt, and you can't use the pepper. So what do you do with that pepper bottle? Give it away to your non-Adventist friends, I guess. We'll talk about coffee, tea, and condiments. Our fifth study is entitled Sugar and Other Sweet Things. I think you'll really enjoy that one, for those of you that are left. And I do hope we have a nice group that are still with us by that time. And our final message I've entitled God's Pharmacy. If you've ever stopped by your local pharmacy, imagine looking up and finding Jesus standing there, making out your prescription. I was just curious, as I kind of thought of that, what kind of medicine do you think he would prescribe, or would he hand out? Good stuff. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that. God's Pharmacy. And I think you'll enjoy that on our last topic. We're going to deal with some very special things, God's pharmacy, and I think you'll have a new picture of how God deals with the type of medicine that makes people whole in the 1990s. Now, let's go ahead and begin tonight if we can. Are you ready? I hope you brought a Bible tonight. Did you bring a Bible? If you didn't, did you bring something to write with and make some notes? I hope so. If you didn't bring your Bible and you didn't bring anything to write on, buy the tape, and then you can shut it off and just keep notes that way. Our first text is found in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And before we read our first text tonight, and we're going to give you a number of them, we're going to invite you just for a little moment to invite God's Spirit to meet with us as we open His Word. Father in heaven, we just pause for a moment to thank you again for our bodies, for our minds, for the lives you've entrusted us with. And I pray that tonight as we begin this new series, that your Spirit will meet with us, we will sense your presence, and that we'll have an enjoyable time, not just tonight, but throughout the next 6 weeks together. I pray that you'll bless us tonight as we open your Word. Give us eyes to see and hearts to understand. And help us to be responsive to your Spirit tonight as you woo us and draw us in Jesus' name. Amen. Nice to see our young men here tonight. Glad you fellows came. We appreciate having each of you with us, and also our younger children, too. We appreciate you little guys and girls as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul asks a very important question here, and then he makes a rather powerful statement. It's a familiar passage to us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Notice what he says. He starts, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's." I have a question. If it is true, and I believe it is, if it is true that our bodies are actually the temple or the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, then what kind of temple have we been building for Him to dwell in? I want you to think about that. I want you to take a look in your own life and ask the question. If it is true that God's Holy Spirit dwells in us individually, then what kind of a temple have we been preparing for Him to live in? As I look at my own personal body, which God bought with the price of His own Son, I have to wonder sometimes, what have I done with it over the years? And I fear that to a large degree, beloved, I've neglected it and taken it for granted. My mind and my body sometimes reminds me of what the wise man said about the field in Proverbs 24, verses 30 and 31. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Sort of reminds me sometimes of my mind and of my body and the way I've treated it over the years. I wonder if that is a fit description of your experience at times too. Have you let your body go? Or your mind through inactivity until it has broken down? Does your life seem overgrown with habits like thorns and nettles which have hid your face from God? Has your spiritual wall of protection crumbled down around you? Do you sometimes feel void of understanding, not knowing exactly what to do or where to turn, or where do we go from here? Is there hope for such a person as me and you? I'd like to say yes. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope, beloved. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise," what? "Cast out." That's a promise. And we can claim that promise tonight. Beloved, there's hope. There's hope for every one of us. Even for those of us who have sinned in neglecting to take care of our body's temple. We need to come to Jesus just as we are, because we can't fix it without Him. Amen? Probably one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we try to get our bodies into shape so we can be worthy of coming to Jesus. Beloved, it just won't happen. Without Him, we can do nothing. We can't get our bodies in shape. We can't get our minds in shape without first coming to Him as we are. And then going from there. Now, it's imperative that some of us rebuild our temples again in the 1990s. I'm really convinced of it. As I take a look in our society today, as I take a look at our hospitals today, they're so filled with the sick and the dying, many of whom are younger than us here tonight. Many of them in the prime of life. Many of them don't walk out. They're carried out. I think it's imperative, is what I'm saying again in the 1990s, that we rebuild our temples again. And we need to start over with a brand new foundation, is what I'm suggesting tonight. God's Word said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, beloved, God is to be our foundation. He is the only one that can uphold us. We can put our entire weight, in other words, upon Jesus Christ. You and I can build on Him. For He can support our every need, whether it's mental, spiritual, social, financial, or physical. He'll even provide for us new footings, if you please. And will help us to rebuild our body's temple so that we may be complete in Him and ready to enter His soon coming kingdom. And I'm convinced, beloved, that if we're expecting to be translated from this earth, then we need to have the kind of bodies that can go through the kind of day that's going to be required and demanded of us in the years ahead. Now, it's interesting, this last Sabbath I had the privilege of anointing an individual or being part of an anointing service in our other little sister church, and the individual who was being anointed was one of our local elders, has a liver condition, a liver problem. And most of the time when we come together as human beings, we, of course, would recognize and identify the problem, and then we would kneel together and anoint with the oil and ask that God would heal this particular person's problem, specifically in his case, the liver. Well, when we knelt together, we asked God not to do things our way. We asked God to do things His way. Not my way, but Thy way. Not my will, but Thy will. In other words, beloved, what we decided was to let God heal this individual as God knew the man needed to be healed. And I don't know how God chooses to heal each of us. But some of us need mental healing. Some of us need spiritual and social and financial healing. And some of us come to Him with physical ailments. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, there is a very direct relationship between mental and physical. The mind can affect the body, and the body can affect the mind. When we're at peace with God, our body responds with health. When we're not at peace with God, our body is traumatized, and stress, high cholesterol, other related problems come as a result. What I'm saying is that the mind affects the body and the body affects the mind. So in this simple request, we ask God, would you heal this individual according to your will, in your time, in your way? And as I shared with this young man, I said, you know, it may be God's will that He will simply heal your heart instead of your liver. And in healing your heart, your liver might fix itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so again, beloved, you and I can trust God. We can stand on God as our foundation. And we can trust Him that He will fix it. And He can support our weight. I don't care what your problem is, whether it's emotional or spiritual or physical or financial or social. We can lay it on God's foundation and we can build on that foundation. We don't need to worry. God can hold our problems in His hand. Now, let me share with you a simple fact that many of us have never understood, I don't believe. And may I add that this is why many of us have fallen again and again along the way. In other words, we've tried to rebuild our body's temple, but we've given up because it doesn't seem to work. And besides, I get older and older, and our minds are just supposed to fail us after a while. Or so they say, right? Everybody gets dementia. Everybody gets Alzheimer's. Everybody gets old after a while and loses their memory. Sometimes even children forget, too, don't they? Yeah. So maybe we need to exercise our minds as well as our bodies. And some of us have tried that, but again, we fail and we fail and we try again and fail. And finally, we don't try anymore. But I'd like for you to notice Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke 5 verses 37 and 38. And I'd like for us to take a look at the words of Jesus here because it's a very interesting passage that the Lord seemed to share with me a thought that I want to share with you. Luke 5, verses 37 and 38. Jesus is speaking and He says, now, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles. That's simple, isn't it? New wine must be put into new bottles. And both are then preserved. Makes sense. How long after you were born did you stay new and young? That doesn't take very long, does it? And we already have a few scars, few bruises, bumps, scrapes. We're just not quite the same. New wine must be put in new bottles. And I ask myself the question, well, Lord, if I'm the bottle and I need the new wine of Your Spirit in my life, this bottle is pretty old already. And by the time I got around to accepting Jesus as my personal Savior, I was already 10 years old. 10 years of war and tribulation, famine. Most 10-year-olds feel that there's always a famine in the land, right? How old was I then? Was I ready for new wine in that old body? And I thought about this, and I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I'm going to be speaking with people this evening that are older than 10 and 20 and 30 and 40. Some are even beyond that. How must they see themselves as certainly old wineskins? Don't want to bring this too close in parallel, you know. I can see some of that skin withering up and wrinkling, and I don't want to make any personal applications too close tonight. But have you ever felt like you were old and you're asking God for new wine, and God says, I can't put new wine in old bottles. Well, then we've got a problem. Because we're not new bottles. I mean, look around. We're not new bottles. And I said, Lord, what do we do with this text? New wine must be put in new bottles so that both will be preserved. Let me give you another text. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a cross-reference. If you have your Bible, just write it in there. Right along with Luke 5, just write 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen to this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old wineskins are passed away. You see it there? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you like that? New wine in new skins. The wine, the life blood of Jesus Christ, given to new men, new women, who are born through Jesus Christ. So then, it doesn't matter if we're 40 or 50 or 60 or beyond, does it? We can have a new creation, a new infiltration, if you please, a fresh new wine in our fresh new mind and fresh new spiritual body every day. Amen? That's what it seems to tell me here. But, having said that, let's reflect back on where most of us have made some mistakes. Trying to put new thoughts into old minds doesn't work. There's an old adage that says you can't teach an old... You know that. An old dog, new tricks. Now, that philosophy, I'm suggesting, has also penetrated even into our own Christian thinking. And thus, trying to put new thoughts into old minds just doesn't work. And many of us accept that. And so we go to Sabbath school week after week and say, well, I've just reached the age I can't think any new thoughts anymore. In other words, new diets and lifestyles for old bodies simply cause the bottle to burst, to spill out, and to perish. And you've experienced that, and so have I. To try and change your lifestyle today, you wouldn't tell the pastor that you're not going to do it, and you can't, and you won't. But you'll think it. Oh, pastor, come on, if you knew how old I am, you would never ask me to do that. I can't walk 5 miles. Are you kidding? Me? I remember the bonnet lady. She was in her 70s. Sitting in a wheelchair, in an arthritic condition. All of her joints were like the door, you know, they all squeaked, moaned, and groaned, yearned to be set free. She was in a terrible state of affairs. In fact, she had to have others assist her in her private life. Very embarrassing, very hard for her to deal with. This lady was in her 70s. We expect that of 70-year-old people, don't we? You reach a point where you creak more than the door. And so this lady, one day, said, why am I doing this? Why am I succumbing and giving into this? Why don't I exercise and do something about it? And so she tried to circulate a little blood and a little bit of extension of the muscles. So she began to exercise and raise her feet while she was sitting there doing nothing anyway, except feeling sorry for herself in that chair. She began to exercise. To make a long story short, by the time she was 80, she had already won 3 gold medals for speed walking, known as the bonnet lady because she always wears a little bonnet when she walks. Now, in her 80s, she said that she's frustrated because there are very few people in her age class that are out there willing to sprint with her. Most of them are in geriatric centers and nursing homes, atrophying, because they've given in, you see, because they've come to conclude that an old bottle can't do new lifestyle programs. See? And beloved, it's true. You can't change your diet. You can't change your lifestyle if you're going to remain in an old body. See what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said when he comes in, he'll give us a new foundation on which to build a new spiritual body, and even the physical body will come into line again to some degree. And as a result, it will affect the mind. And the mind will also begin to come into control once again. And it's amazing. Some who are arthritic and sitting today in those geriatric wards, if they're not too far gone and haven't submitted their minds and their bodies to the philosophy we've been talking about, but would submit their mind and their body to the Lord Jesus Christ with effort on their part coupled with divine strength, many of those dear people could walk again. And the proof, I think, has been demonstrated by others, other than the little bonnet lady that still walks as she's pushing her late 80s today in the 1990s. Still walking. And she cuts, by the way, a mile in less than 15 minutes. That's pretty good trucking around, isn't it? I mean, you think about that. Less than a 15-minute mile, that means she walks 4 miles in less than an hour. That's moving along for 85, 86 years of age. If you don't believe me, you try that. Now again, you're not going to hold me responsible if you fall down the track tomorrow if you try that. Now, we're not ready for that yet. So please don't go out and do anything rash or radical yet, all right? Just stick with me. I'm just sharing some ideas. You have to start out small and work your way up into those things, okay? Might want to see your doctor before you start running down the track tomorrow, please. So, my point again, trying to put new thoughts in old minds doesn't work. New diets and new lifestyles for old bodies simply causes the bottle again to burst. Now, with those thoughts in mind, let me draw a conclusion. Unless we choose to be born as a new creation or as a new man or woman every day, and unless we choose to let this mind be in us which was also in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 2:5, we'll simply remain old skins with old wine inside. Notice how Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, reflects on the old and in so doing recognizes the need for starting all over with the new. And this reminds me of the bonnet woman. As she was reflecting back on her life, seeing that it basically come to a standstill, she said, "I don't need to be here." It was as she reflected back and remembered her good years, and then she reflects where she is. She said, "I don't need to stay here. I can go beyond this." And so again, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 24, we find that by recognizing a need in our life, we can start all over again with the new. And I'd like for you to notice specifically how often the new can begin for you and me. Reading, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." Don't need to give up. Question. How often can we start again with God's mercies and compassions? Every morning we can be born again. Now this may sound kind of dumb, but let me suggest that as the priest of your own temple, in which the Holy Spirit abides, Have you ever thought of suggesting that you offer your own life up as an offering on the altar of burnt offerings? Like I said, it's kind of a dumb thought, but have you ever thought about you being the offering? In the Bible, we find a young man who was willing to be sacrificed as the offering. His name was Isaac. You remember that? And I'm just wondering, in that old ceremonial system, that old sacrificial system, there was an altar of burnt offerings right out in the courtyard. And when a person came in by faith, they sacrificed a little lamb or a goat or a turtle dove or a bullock, and they sacrificed that to basically represent their sins and themselves, to represent God who was going to cleanse them of their sin and so on. So it was their sacrifice that they brought. And I'm just wondering if you'd ever thought of just laying yourself on the altar, saying, "Lord, take me. Not that you're replacing Jesus Christ. There's no greater offering or gift than Jesus. Don't miss my point here, please. In other words, what I'm saying is asking God to take your old man, your old nature, and consume it as a burnt offering. I can't think of a better thing to do with it than by faith coming to Jesus and crawling, as it were, by faith up on that altar and say, Lord, would you consume this old man in me? Would you burn this old man away, the dross, the scum out of my life? Would you take him away? In other words, let your old man die so that you might be born again and resurrected a new man in Christ. In other words, you die with Christ and you're resurrected with Christ. Does that make sense? Now, I do this. I try to do it on a regular daily basis. Asking God to take my body, it's this physical thing, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my appetites, my passions, and my will. I ask Him to do that every day. Now, that may sound like a ritual, but being born again is a good ritual to get into, isn't it? Every day, new wine in new skins. Yesterday's experience won't suffice for today. Therefore, I must have new wine, new from God, every morning in my life. I must be born spiritually again every day, and that affects my physical. I also ask God to create in me a clean heart, to renew a what? A right spirit in me. I ask Him to purify my TWA. That's an easy way to remember it. My thoughts, my words, good for you. TWA. You can remember that. It's the only way to fly with the Lord. It's a beautiful way to do it. Lord, take my thoughts, take my words, take my actions this day. I dedicate them to you. I give Him everything there is so that He can fix it, so that He can refine me, purify me, cleanse me, and make me all new again. As one of my friends would say, squeaky clean. I like that. Just make me squeaky clean all over. That's the laver's experience, isn't it? Lord, wash me, purge me. You see, we're a sacrifice. Then we're cleansed. We're resurrected with Christ. We're cleansed. We're baptized, as it were, in the laver. Then we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our life through the seven candlesticks, right? The Holy Spirit then can come into our temple and He can do the work in us that He wants to do, and that's through the Word of God, which is the table of showbread. So we eat the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit illuminates our mind with truths from His Word, teaches us what to do during the day. Brings thoughts back to our mind that we've studied in His Word. Helps us to resist temptation and tests and trials. And then we can stand before that veil, before the altar of incense, and our prayers then go up ascending to God via the Holy Spirit. And we can pray for others. We can pray for our family. We can pray for our children, our grandchildren. Effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man are now availing much. Because you see, we've died out in the courtyard. We were resurrected with Christ. We were baptized anew at the beginning of that day, filled with the Holy Spirit, students of God's Word, reflecting His character as we stand before that beautiful veil, which is Jesus Christ. Our prayers ascend with Him. And then by faith, we enter into that most holy compartment every day with God, that we might accompany Him and assist Him in the purging of our life, the correcting of our life, the directing of our life, so that we might, with God's grace, assist Him in the work of judgment. Saying, Lord, what should I do today? What would you have me do today? And thus we work in cooperation with God in the investigative judgment as He assists us and we assist Him. Does that make sense? And this is how I exchange my old wineskins for new ones and my old wine for new wine every day. Lord, make me a new man. Today, trying to fix up our old bodies by incorporating new ideas can be dangerous. There's all kinds of gimmicks out here today that we can buy, treadmills we can walk on, diets we can get, all kinds of strange things. You can even dance to get better health. You can do all kinds of crazy things to try and get health. But beloved, if you try to get health without having the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you haven't got anything. In other words, you're trying to fix up the old body. You're trying to repair the old wineskin. But what we really need is new wine and the new skin. Amen? We need them both. And so oftentimes what we see in the world, they're trying to market ways whereby we can take care of the body, but they aren't caring for our soul. And we need both. And I think we as Seventh-day Adventists, if we've fallen short on one of those sides, it's that we have fed our head and have failed to take care of our bodies. If we've sinned, it's the other side, generally speaking, in the 1990s. So we need both. We need the new birth. We need the mind of Jesus. And we dare not begin this series of new ideas and new lifestyles until we've asked God to work a miracle in our lives so that we can begin rebuilding our body's temple with all new material for today. So right now I'm going to ask us to spend some time with the Lord. I think that's fitting, isn't it? Before we launch into this series, I want us to spend some time with the Lord tonight, two by two. And the reason I think it's important two by two is because we need to witness to somebody else that I'm making a commitment to Jesus Christ. In other words, that makes me accountable, doesn't it? Makes me responsible. And so as we pray two by two tonight, let's commit our lives to God. Let's ask for a new mind, a new heart, a new vessel spiritually that God can place His Holy Spirit in, that we can become the kind of men and women that God would have us to be in the 1990s. So that our minds can ultimately begin to affect our bodies physically, and our bodies can begin to affect our minds. So let's find our partner again. Two by two. If there's three of you who want to commit your lives together, that's fine. But let's ask God specifically tonight to change our lives. Give us new wine and also new bottles in which to place that wine tonight. Spend a few moments, let's kneel together, and let's pray specifically for that. I want to share some more text with you tonight. Reading from chapter 12 of the book of Romans, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this inspiration. Profound comments from God. Listen to what He says through the Apostle Paul. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't ask us to be a dead sacrifice. He asks us to be a living sacrifice. Now, it's all right to die to the old man, that we might live anew in Jesus Christ. Now, notice the next verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the next few weeks, we're going to prove by God's grace, we're going to prove in our own mind and our own body what God is willing to do and what He can do for you and me. I can hardly wait to share some of the things that God is doing in my life. Some of you know that I've had high cholesterol. In fact, I've never seen it under 200 since I first started taking cholesterol tests back in the early 1970s. But I just feel that 260 is a little high for me. 260. That isn't very good. And so my doctor suggested that maybe I bring it down a little bit, and my doctor suggested maybe I try something that Seventh-day Adventists are famous for, and that's doing some things natural. My doctor said, you Adventists should know better. So rather than me putting you on a drug medication that can bring you down, why don't you try to exercise like a good boy? And why don't you take some garlic tablets? I hear that that also can help. And why don't you also just kind of turn things over to the Lord and get out from under the stress you're under? Good advice. Huh? Not bad. So it came down from 160 to 140, and I praise the Lord for that. This last week I had it checked again. It's down to 200. Did I say it from 260 to 240, and then it's down now to 213. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm excited about that. Some of you aren't even 200, and so you're excited, but 260 to 240, 213. But you know, I have to work at it. My wife and I trot around a little track down here. Some days it's cold out there, but we're trying, by God's grace, to stay out of the wheelchair, to stay out of the hospital, to stay away from the Roto-Rooter job. You know what I mean by that? I don't want to have them going in and reaming out my arteries. I don't want that. I don't want them extracting hunks of vein out of my leg and trying to patch up my heart. I don't want that. And so I believe that by God's grace, if we begin to apply some of the simple things that He's taught us, I believe that by the renewing of our mind through His Word, we can prove what is God's will for our life by our own physical changes in our life. We can see it happen. I've got to tell you another exciting thing that's happened to me. My resting pulse rate is normal, according to my good nurse in the back who told me that that's normal. Between 60 and 80 is normal. However, I have some jogging friends, some running friends, marathon friends, whose resting pulse rate is in the 40s. And I envy them. Their heart goes kaboom. Kaboom. Isn't that exciting? But look at the rest that the heart gets between those beats. See, the heart rests. You realize it rests. Not while you sleep. It rests between its beats. Right? And so this fellow at 40, kaboom. Rest. Oh, his heart loves him. He runs 20 miles a day. My heart rate is double that. Rarely, over the last couple of years, has my heart rate been under 80. Resting pulse rate. Just sitting, quietly, resting. 80. And then occasionally it'll go thump, 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 thump. I mean, it's not even consistent. Sort of like my life. And so here my resting pulse rate, and I'm just a young man, that's what I'm told by some of you. 260 cholesterol level, resting pulse rate that can't keep an even beat, always in the 80s, and when I get excited it jumps up real high. But over the last few months, praise the Lord, my resting pulse rate now at almost any given time is in the low 60s, 60 to 62. And I praise God for that, because it's evidence that walking does affect the body. And now my heart beats, thump, 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 but it still rests now a little more than what it was before. And I praise the Lord. And I'm praising the Lord that hopefully some of those arteries are getting unplugged. And we're able to breathe a little better. We're able to walk a little longer and a little farther every day. And I thank God for that. So, in our next few weeks together, by God's grace, hopefully, we will not conform to the world, but rather be transformed to God's plan through renewing our minds and our bodies, and we can prove what God's will is for our lives. Third John, 1 verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. John is saying under inspiration that it's not just important that our mind be keen and sharp, it's important that our bodies also be in top physical condition as well. And of course we know today, as I've stated already, our mind affects the body and our body affects the mind. So when your body's in poor health, it also affects the mind. And our mind is in poor health as well. Another little statement. I'm sorry? That was 3 John, chapter 1, and verse 2. Here's one in Exodus, Old Testament. Exodus chapter 15, verse 25b and 26. You say, what's B? That's the last part of verse 25. All right? Exodus 15, verse 25b and 26. Moses had just crossed the Red Sea with the children of Israel, and they had come to a water hole where they had bitter water. You remember that? And the people were weeping and saying, why did we come out here already and cross the Red Sea to die? And the Lord told him to take a tree and throw it into the water. They cut it down and put it in the water, and the water became sweet. You remember that experience? And this is what Moses now is sharing there in Exodus, as the Lord now is making a covenant with them. He says, there he made for them a statute, or a decree, and an ordinance, or a decision, and there he proved them, and said, now listen to what he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, a cross-reference, Hebrews 13:8. This is my promise. You can put it right there by Exodus 15. Hebrews 13:8. Here we discover that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that the same promise that was given to Israel in the days of Moses is applicable to us in the 1990s, providing we are willing to also heed His commandments, keep His statutes, and do that which is right in His sight. If we will do that, He's promised that we will not receive of these diseases. And I really believe, beloved, that to a large degree, we would see a lot more health among Seventh-day Adventist Christians if we would follow the admonition that God has given us in His Word. I just believe that with all my heart. From a little book called The Faith I Live By, page 228, we read these inspired thoughts. We've read from the Word of God. Let's take a look also from additional words that God has shared with us through the writing of Ellen White in a little morning watch book, The Faith I Live By, page 228. Listen to this. I find this precious, and then we're kind of bringing this to a close for tonight. Health may be earned by proper habits of life. May be earned by proper habits of life and may be made to yield interest and compound interest. I like that. A little saving up for when you need it. Do you have a little extra amount of health in reserve in case you need it? Or are you like me always pushing the outer limits with no extra reserve? Beloved, we need a little extra reserve for the time of trouble. Okay? And some of us are already in the time of trouble and don't know it. And it's not the real time of trouble. In other words, we brought a time of trouble upon ourselves before the time of trouble by the way we've been living. We don't have that extra reserve and we need to build it up while we can, while we still have time. Listen, she writes on, "But this capital, more precious than any bank deposit, may be sacrificed by intemperance and eating and drinking, or by leaving the organs to rust from inaction." Rust? Is your brain rusty? Does it hurt to think? To memorize what we tried to do just a few weeks ago in our little witnessing? Did you find just a paragraph stretch the mind? Did you find some rusty cogs? Listen, this capital of health is more precious than any bank account, but it can be sacrificed by intemperance, or leaving the organs to rust from inaction. Pet indulgences must be given up. Laziness must be overcome. Oh, boy. But doesn't the bed feel so good early in the morning? So warm inside and so cold outside. And it was cold out there today. Eldon had to be out there in it today, and it was rough. Are you ready for this next sentence? Listen to this. The health should be as sacredly guarded as the character. Isn't that a powerful statement? And we know that if you and I don't develop the kind of character that God can take to heaven, we're not going to make it. And we put a lot of emphasis on developing character that'll stand through the last great remnant of time. Well, beloved, the same is true with health. Our health should be as sacredly guarded as our character. And again, that's where I say that we as Adventists probably have fallen short, if we've fallen short at all. We try to build the character. We try to have a keen mind. We try to know all the right texts for the right questions. But our bodies we've let slide, haven't we? I fear we have. So our health then should be as sacredly guarded as our character. Reading on, our bodies are Christ's purchased possession, and we are not at liberty to do with them as we please. I have to ask myself the question, what programs do I insist the Holy Spirit watch with me? Did I say that right? If the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and I insist on watching certain things, then I'm really kind of forcing Him to watch them with me, aren't I? I wonder how He likes that. I wonder what programs He wants to watch, and whether I'm in cooperation with Him. All who understand the laws of health should realize their obligation to obey these laws which God has established in their being. Obedience to the laws of health is to be made a matter of personal duty. We ourselves must suffer the result of violated law. Oh. So many times we think that God is the one that brought this curse upon us. And when we go into an anointing service, many times we go into it with a big question. If God sees fit. If God sees fit to remove it. Well, beloved, that's the only thing God ever sees fit to do. I think I can stand behind that. God is not one to bring death and suffering and pain on man. God can't help but give good gifts to His children. That's what my Bible says. God always wants to give life and health and happiness and joy. God only wants to give the good. If there's bad that's come upon us, beloved, it's not because God has brought it. It's because we have brought it by not doing what God has asked us to do. And God will delight to remove it from us once we put our life back in harmony with His will. But He can't fix us up if we aren't willing to be fixed. He won't fix us up if we aren't willing to be fixed. And some of us want to bargain with God and say, God, if You just fix me this time, I'll never get into this problem again. Can't bargain with God like that either. See, God wants your life once and for all. It's a full life commitment is what He wants, not an on and off relationship. So we ourselves must suffer the result of violated law. We must individually answer to God for our habits and practices. Individually. Therefore, the question with us is not, what is the world's practice? But how shall I as an individual treat the habitation that God has given me? If your body truly is the temple of God, what kind of a temple have you been making for Him to live in? That's a pretty serious question, isn't it? Over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at what the world does and contrast that with what God would have His people do. One interesting point in closing this evening, I thought I'd just share with you a little statistic that I've come across. There's a group of mothers against drunk driving out here that have organized into a united group called MADD. You've heard of that, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or Drivers. This organization was brought about because of the deaths, the senseless deaths that have been caused by alcoholic drivers, or drivers that are under the influence of alcohol. Some 25,000 persons are killed every year in America on our highways, directly related to alcohol. 25,000 that wouldn't need to be at all if they wouldn't drink. And so you can understand why some mothers are quite angry that their children have been the victims of alcohol. In other words, others who drank have killed people on the highway, often innocent individuals that never had any drink but are killed in the process. Well, the drunk oftentimes walks away or staggers away or is taken away and lives to drink again. And so here we have an organization very angry at 25,000 people senselessly being killed on our highways. Now, the reason I say that is because there's another statistic that I find interesting. There are approximately 1 million persons that will die this year in 1996 in the United States of heart disease. This year, 1 million, at the tune of $7 billion to the taxpayer. 1 million men and women will die this year. And the thing that amazes me is that very little is being said or done to stop this senseless dying, which doesn't really have to happen at all. Now, that's quite a statement. The real sad scenario is that out of this 1 million, half of these individuals are in the prime of life and also call themselves Christians. And I'm saying that at least for Seventh-day Adventists who have a general lifespan of 6 to 7 years beyond that of the normal American, we as Seventh-day Adventists should never die of coronary heart disease. Now, I know there are exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, we are the ones that are bringing the disease on ourselves by the way we live. Generally speaking, I realize there are some things that are inherited and so on. Maybe we can't help some of that. But beloved, our lifestyle and our dietary habits, to a large degree, is the bottom line that causes the disease that destroys 1 million people every year. And no big groups called MAD are out there fighting it. You and I hope, will have some righteous indignation against these diseases that are destroying God's people. When if we would put our life in harmony with God's will, God would give us victory over all those diseases. I hope that we can establish a little righteous indignation over the next few weeks together so that we can determine in our mind, in our life, we're going to do what God has asked us to do and watch and see what He does in our lives, that we might give Him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, so that we can be ready when He comes. Because, beloved, one day He's coming soon, and I want to be in good health when He comes. Don't you? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You again for the privilege we've had of being here tonight. And as we've begun this first study and laying the foundation, I pray that You'll help us tomorrow morning as we arise from our night's rest, that the very first thing we do will be spend time with You, that we might be filled anew with new wine, in a new spiritual mind and body, that we might really be Your men and women for tomorrow. Bless us as we go to our homes tonight. Give us a safe trip and give us a good night's rest, and awaken us refreshed in the morning, that we might become Your men and women for this hour in which we live. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.